Lord, thanks for this time together. Thank you for being with us here, and we just want to draw close to your heart now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I thought it was appropriate tonight, since people are exchanging gifts all around us, to consider the greatest gift giver who's ever lived, and that's Jesus Christ. I want to read a verse to you. Nathan's going to throw it up on the screen for you. Can you see over top of me? 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now, I know we read our Bible, and I don't doubt you've read this a few times, but just stop and think about that just for a minute or two. I mean, just read it again. It's amazing what Jesus has done for us. It is true. You know, the average person, when they travel, their average rich person, when they travel, they fly first class. A really rich person, when they travel, they charter a plane. A super rich person, when they travel, well, they got their own jet plane. And an incredibly rich person owns the airline. But Jesus, he was beyond incredibly rich, because he created everything, the Bible says, and he owns everything. Colossians tells us that all things were made by him and for him. And in Psalm 50, it says that God declares, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all of its fullness." So everything that ever was and everything that ever will be belongs to God. Now, the first thing I want you to consider tonight is that the fact of the matter is that Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven and come to earth so that we could leave earth and go to heaven. Isn't it remarkable? Now, I love life. I love living. I enjoy things of this world. But honestly, as I get older, I get so weary of sickness and sorrow. And it seems like I spend more and more time in funeral homes. And as a pastor, I see pain and suffering a lot. And I feel the devastating effects of death. Not just physical death, but death of relationships, death of dreams and goals. And there's corruption in our world and deception in our world, not just in outside of the church, but even within the body of Christ, there's these things. So as I ponder all these things and see our world get darker and darker, I tell you, I'm looking more and more forward to the day that I'm going to be with Jesus in heaven, you know. And I'm really excited about that day. You know, when Jesus is perfect, and one day we're going to leave this earthly tent and go be with him. And for those of us who are here on Sunday and we're going through some of John 3:16, we saw Jesus' definition of eternal life. Remember, it was John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So eternal life is knowing God forever and ever. That's what it means. It's an eternal relationship with God. It happens to be in heaven, but the thing that really gets us excited, the reason we're rich as Christian people, is because the truth of the matter is we're going to be with God forever and ever in an intimate relationship with him. And Jesus was willing to leave the glory of heaven, and he endured a human birth so that we would be able to have a spiritual birth. And those of us may know, the birth process isn't easy. As a man, I don't understand that very much. I mean, it was hard on me. Not really. But doctors say it's not only hard on the mother, it's hard on the child being born, because the child goes through a state of trauma, and that's where the soft spot on the head is, so the head can go through the birth canal in a healthy way. And Jesus dealt with physiological trauma when he was born, but he also lowered himself to become a man just like us. In all ways, he humbled himself so he might walk where we walk and feel what we feel and die where we should have died. You know, when I was a boy, I grew up in the country, and me and my brother would ride our bikes a lot. And there was a house in particular that had dogs that would chase us. I don't know if you ever had a situation like that. You know, and so you always get up ahead of steam, and sure enough, as far as you got close to them, the dogs would see you, and here they'd come, and you know, you're kind of pedaling for your life as you come, and as you got make it, and the dogs stop chasing you, and you go back, there's this exhilarating feeling of, we lived, we made it. You know, I never thought about it, but in some ways, I think the dog felt like he won because I left. And he stayed. He probably went back to his house thinking, got another one away from me. You know, he had this whole sense of, man, I won today. And there were times when we were doing that, it's like, if I could just communicate with the dog, let him know that I'm no threat to him, he can just go lay down, he's fine. And that's what Jesus was willing to do for us, is become like us so he could communicate with us and show us the ways of the Father and ultimately die so that we might know him. It's amazing to think what God has been willing to do for us so that we would be born spiritually and become rich in the things of God. Now, I feel so rich tonight. You know, it's wonderful to be able to come together like this with my friends and worship the Lord together, and recognizing that it's only going to get better as we look forward to the day that we're all going to be with Him. One day, we're going to be with God forever and ever. It's all because of what Christ did for me on the cross. My sins are washed away. The sins I committed long ago, the sins I'm struggling with today, and the sins that are in front of me that I haven't even thought about yet. Jesus died for those sins to be forgiven. And I'm a rich man tonight. We're rich people because we're forgiven, aren't we? We're very rich. That's what that verse is speaking to. What Jesus was willing to do so that we could become rich in the things of God. You know, you may have nothing in your pocket tonight but lint, but you're richer than Bill Gates. Really, we are. Now, we don't think that way oftentimes because, you know, we need money to eat and we need all those things, but we're rich in the things that really matter. Why? Because the riches that we have will last forever and ever and ever. That's why I encourage you in tonight. And we're rich because we live each day with purpose. We're just not living to get along, marking every day, going to work and making some money so we can have some this and do a little bit of that and go watch Star Wars, whatever. We're not living that way. We're not living at that very carnal level. We're living with purpose. We have value. God has given us a way to live that shows Him in this world. It's a glorious thing. So Jesus left His home in heaven and He came to this earth so that we would be able to go to heaven and spend eternity with Him. He who was rich became poor so that we who are poor might become rich. And so not only did Jesus leave heaven and come to earth, and not only was He born physically so that I would be born spiritually, but Jesus also had an earthly mother so that I might have a heavenly father. And He allowed Himself to be born into a human family. The Bible tells us that He was submitted to His earthly parents. And He did that in order that I might have a relationship with my Father who's in heaven. And I'm so thankful tonight that I am a child of God. And I serve a heavenly Father who is excellent. Last Sunday, again, we talked about this in John 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. Now, maybe you sit here tonight and you look back at your life and you think, you know, my parents weren't all that I wish they were. Or my spouse wasn't excellent in every way. Or my family life wasn't all that I wished it was or could have been. But I got news for you. I got good news for you. You have a heavenly Father who loves you and wants to do excellent things for you all day, every day, for your whole life. Psalm 84 tells us that our heavenly Father will withhold no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So if you love God tonight, we need to know that your heavenly Father will withhold nothing from you that is good for you. Jesus Himself said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? God wants to give us good things, and He will. And this Christmas, I can assure you that God is going to give every good gift to you and me. He'll give me the things that are helpful and edifying and encouraging. And if there's something that isn't good for me, he'll withhold it from me. I have a friend, and when his son was little, his son wanted a certain type of tarantula for Christmas, and so he decided to go to the pet store to get a sense of, you know, what's this tarantula thing's all about. So he goes to the guy, and he talks to the guy about it, and the guy says that this tarantula is kind of dangerous because not only will it bite, but has the ability to jump 8 feet high. Yikes. And if this tarantula jumps at you to bite you, and he misses, and he lands on the floor, he'll explode. That's this tarantula? Sounds like a short life to me. Well, needless to say, the father didn't buy the tarantula for his son. And yet there are things in our world that we think are going to be good for us, but they're exploding tarantulas. They're going to jump. They're going to jump right at you, going to try to bite you. When they land, they're going to throw up all over you. And we pray, oh, God, please give me this new job. Oh, God, please give me this new home. Oh, God, please give me this relationship. And the Lord in his wisdom withholds some of those things for us because he knows that's a biting tarantula. He knows that's exploding a tarantula. And we can get all frustrated at God and think, God, I can't believe that this door isn't opening for me. And I can't believe that I'm 22 years old and I'm not married yet. And I can't believe, and all these things. God's saying, I know what's best for you. Just rest in the fact that I long to shower you, to lavish you with every, that's what it said, right? Every good thing. Every good thing God promises that he'll give to us. So God knows what's good for you. And he loves to lavish us, children, with good things. So Jesus had an earthly mother so that we would have a heavenly father who does excellent things for his kids. And then the last thing is that Jesus allowed himself to be born humbly in a stable so that we might spend eternity with him in a mansion that he's prepared for specifically for you. The Bible says this, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the heart of a man the things that God has prepared for those who love him." The Lord knows what you like, and he's prepared a place for you, a special place just for you. And Jesus was willing to be born in a lowly stable that we might live forever in a mansion. So 2 Corinthians, here, let me read it again. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich." You know, I think of it this way. There was a guy, a church picnic. They went out to have a church picnic, and he went and he only brought with him a dry bologna sandwich. And he sits alone and begins to eat his sad excuse for a sandwich when a grandmother and her family come up and sit by him. And out of their picnic basket comes mouth-watering fried chicken and homemade bread and potato salad and beans and a couple of huge, juicy apple pies. And as they're getting ready to sit down to dinner for this scrumptious feast, the grandmother leans over to the direction of the guy who had the dry bologna sandwich and says, "Why don't we put yours and ours together?" And that's what God has done for us. He takes our poor rags and gives us his riches. It's a glorious truth. And maybe you've never acknowledged the fact that you have a need for a Savior. Maybe you've never come to the point that you say, you know what, yeah, my sin has separated me from God. In a simple prayer, "Lord, thank you for becoming poor that I might become rich. Lord, thank you for dying that I might live. Thank you for being broken so that I might be made whole. Thank you for enduring a human birth so I may have a spiritual birth. Thank you for coming down to this earth so that I might go to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do for me so I can have a relationship with you that lasts forever." It's a simple prayer. "Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus, that he died on that cross for me. I believe. Cleanse me of my sin." This will be your best Christmas ever as we pray that prayer. So I want to encourage you, like the girls read in the little section there in Luke, when the shepherds were running to the manger, my version says they made haste to the manger. Let's run to the manger and behold the child of God, the Lamb of God, the light of the world. Jesus says this in John 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. God tells us, his children, that we're to shine forth as lights into this dark world. Actually, the word that's used there is more like a luminary. A luminary is something that reflects light. I think the Gavigans, don't you guys have a big luminary thing in your neighborhood in Irvington where they set the, you know, have we seen those bags where they put the candle in? And don't you guys have all that, Dennis? Nod your head. Yeah. You know, you've all seen that. That's what he's talking about here. See, those paper bags don't have light in and of themselves, right? It's the candle inside and the light and the bag just illuminates. That's our function as Christian people. The light of Jesus that's within us is to shine forth for the entire world to see. Stand in line at Walmart and complain and you'll just be like everybody else when things don't go the way you want. But you stand in Walmart line and you show grace and you show kindness and you show compassion and you show love and you make the best of a bad situation and your light shines. It does. It does. Your little light makes a difference in this world. Now, you might think just the opposite. You might think that the things around you are so dark, so twisted, so perverse that your light isn't making any difference in this world, but it is. Back in World War II in England, they'd have these total blackouts in the major cities every night so that the Nazis couldn't tell where they were bombing. And the blackouts were so complete that no one was allowed even to light a match. So they could light their cigar or light a cigarette, anything. You couldn't light even one match. And you might think, well, that's kind of stupid. What? How much light can a match put off? But if you were in a total darkness, a match can be seen 11 miles away. One match. The light that shines out of you is making a difference in this world, Christian. You just need to keep on letting it shine. We're going to sing the song. Come on, we have to, right? I'm leading. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. I know some of you function in very dark places. But that's where God has put you. He's put us all in the midst of a twisted, perverse generation. We're not the first. And Christians before us for centuries have been lights into a very perverse, dark world. And he's called us to shine forth like luminaries so we can see the good, people can see the goodness of Almighty God inside of us. Amen? Here, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the privilege we have of coming together tonight and just to be reminded of what you've done for us. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to leave the glory of heaven and come to this dark, dark world. Being willing to be born in a very humble place, being raised in a very humble environment so that you could identify with regular people just like us, Lord. We're thankful for that tonight, Lord. Thank you for your goodness for us. Lord, I pray that if any of us in this room tonight don't know if we would die today, where we'd go, where our forever would be, that we would acknowledge the fact that you sent your Son into this world ultimately to die and take the punishment for our rebellion. So I pray for that person, Lord, that they would just acknowledge their need. Lord, I confess I'm a sinner. I believe in Jesus. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord. And thank you that as Christian people, Lord, you call us to be lights in this world. And symbolically, we're going to hold these little candles, Lord, but we know our light is to shine everywhere we go. And I pray we wouldn't be discouraged. We wouldn't be frustrated when the world just keeps getting darker and darker. But we just trust that you're going to use us and give us courage and boldness and strength to stand where you'd call us to stand, God. So thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I was thinking about something, and, you know, it's a little... You heard about the people who died in the tornadoes. One girl, 18, was just in her bedroom, laying in her bed, and a tree fell on her and killed her. Did you hear that? Some boy was just driving a car with his mom and dad, and the car got blown over, and he died. Where's their eternal eternity going to be? And God calls us. We're going to hold these candles. And God calls us, be light. I've given you the power of my Holy Spirit. Now, be light. So let's be light this week. Let's be full of joy and hope and goodness and all the wonderful things of God. Speak truth. All those things.